I was wrestling a bit while preparing these worship services, asking myself, well, all these beautiful hymns that we're singing, maybe they're a bit early. Normally you just reserve them for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So in my heart I thought everybody will agree with me. And I decided, let's sing them from now on every Sunday. They are beautiful. We were born with them. We grew up with them. They are part of our lives. And I hope you enjoy singing these beautiful hymns out of our heart. And we will do it until Christmas. Our scripture reading from the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast. When it was over and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbors. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. And the next day they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And the teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." And he said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my father?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things dearly, deep within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up in body, both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. Here ends our scripture reading. May you and I sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this very morning. Yes, the bells are ringing everywhere. It is Christmas time once again. And while the bells are ringing, the cash registers are singing while they're clinging. Now, most Christians think that the holiday spirit originated from the birth of Christ. It's not true. To the contrary, December 25 used to be a pagan holiday long, long before Jesus was born. So the early Christians chose this pagan holiday to take advantage of the festivities in order to celebrate their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, no one knows what exact day Jesus was born. Nobody does. In the year 350 after Christ, Pope Julius I declared that Christ's birth would be celebrated on December 25. Now, obviously, in those days, he tried to convince pagan Romans to convert to Christianity. And by doing it on one of their big pagan festivals, he had hoped that the new religion would go down just a little bit easier with them, and that they will not feel threatened and a fear that their pagan festivals would disappear. So there's quite a history in Christmas. It's embarrassing for a family to misplace a child. If you were in the crowd, all your shopping, and your kid suddenly gone, you find that, well, I was looking at a new dress and all the beautiful things, and the kid wandered off, then you will be embarrassed and you will scurry to find your child. Now, it's a different scenario in the Bible, but it actually happened to Mary and Joseph. You see, they attended the Passover celebration in Jerusalem, and their 12-year-old son Jesus was with them. And they were actually part of a larger company of pilgrims traveling together, and it was really after a full day's journey away from Jerusalem that they suddenly wondered, now, what happened to our kid? Where's Jesus? They looked everywhere. Jesus was not with them. So the Bible says that with great anxiety, they turned back to find where Jesus was. They went searching for Jesus. You know, those words struck me. Because part of the Christmas story is about wise men from the east that actually came in search of the newborn King of the Jews. And now many, many centuries later, I saw a bumper sticker reading, "Wise men still seek Jesus." Indeed, they do. Indeed, that's part of the reason why many of you braved the weather this morning and decided there's only one place where I want to be this morning, and that's with God's people in the church, seeking Christ. Wise folks still seek Jesus, even at the time when they tell us we are living in post-Christianity. And the time for Jesus has sort of gone by. Wise people still seek Jesus. Now, the concept of seeking Jesus is close to the heart of our Christian faith. Because we believe that in and through Jesus Christ, countless millions of people are still finding the way to the heart of God. And many of us here in church will never hesitate to admit that our lives have dramatically and positively changed that day when we first found and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. I'm one of them. Never, ever will that date fade away in my mind. 15 December 1953 will always be a day that I suddenly sensed blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. It's alarming to notice in our times the extent to which Jesus Christ is missing in the lives of many people who still call themselves Christians in our time. So many still belong to churches and they still participate in the activities, they're still supporting the functions, still carrying the name. However, when it comes to demonstrating Christ's presence in their faith and through their lives, there is very little sign of real Jesus influence in their lives. without a personal conviction and faith anchored in God, there is only emptiness where there should be meaning and purpose. And it sort of challenges us just a little bit. Is it empty inside? Am I decorating and buying gifts for the grandchildren? Or is there still something deep inside me, filled by faith, by the belief, by the acceptance, blessed assurance? Jesus, this Jesus is mine. So while the cash registers are clinging, while people spend billions on Christmas gifts and feasts, no peace and presence of Christ still eluding many of those shoppers. They're doing everything. Just go to the malls. You will see them there. But the peace and presence of Christ, it's not really time. No time for that now. I've got the list. I've got the shopping list. I must do this and this and that. I still need to do that. And that's okay. That's great. We do it for our family. We can't wait that they're coming. But in the process, we must not get so busy that we forget what this is all about. No credit card can ever fix the emptiness of a life without faith. So it might be appropriate to ask, is Christ still visible? Your life, mine, the way that we deal with one another, the way that we talk about one another, is Christ still visible in our discussions? Is there something that still brings the message that in Christ we have become a new person? You know, there's a saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. Military chaplains reported that many of the soldiers are making decisions for Christ during times of crisis, while many others are seeking spiritual guidance. Chaplains telling us, soldiers came, "Sir, teach me to pray. How do I confess my sin? What do I do with my sin? How do I hand it over for God's forgiveness?" Military chaplains report that many soldiers also turn to people who evidently know Jesus, sharing their innermost concerns about life. "Tell me, you're a Christian. I guess I need it now. Tell me about your Christ. Tell me about your faith." Many are still searching for Jesus. In these changed times, oh, let us pray that their search would continue, even when they are in foxholes no more. Many people find God during times of uncertainty and great stress, great heartache and great concern. And people often turn their hearts to the one who can meet their deepest needs. Faith in God change his life for the better. And the best time to turn to God is before crisis comes, while you still have your health, your talent, your ability, and the free will to make meaningful changes to turn your personal darkness into light. Think about it. Are you searching, still searching for Jesus? Are you assured of his presence in your life? Deciding to invite Christ into your life. Some people also call it a renewal of faith. Will make all the difference. Is this maybe an appropriate moment to say, I know you, Jesus. I've known you since I was born. But today, this very day, I just want to say, here I am, back from wandering. I'm home in your presence. So during these weeks of Advent, we are waiting and preparing to celebrate Christ's coming into this world. He has promised that if with all our hearts we truly seek him, we shall surely find him. He is here even today, waiting and available. At this time, in preparation, I had to renew. Say, oh God, let me not say this from the pulpit this morning if I have not personally reached out. Renew. Are you hearing your name? Softly, tenderly, as we used to sing as children. Jesus is still calling. Calling for you and for me. Come home. Come home. O sinner, come home. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords this very day. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, in this season of waiting and watching, we look to your coming to us once again. You come in the sound of silence. You arrive in the laughter of friends. You come in the darkened night by bringing joy to a world so much without expectation. Sometimes we feel burdened down with our own sorrows and preoccupations, and we miss your coming. Cease our searching. Therefore we pray that you would break into our confusion and brighten our way. We especially pray for those who struggle with illness, for those who grieve, for those who face difficult decisions. And we now ask that you would touch the lives of those we name in our heart this very second with renewed faith and hope. We pray for the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the homeless, and for all who remember and care for them during these days. We pray for peace in the world and for the unity of all your people. We pray for ourselves, for the forgiveness of our shortcomings, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to make changes in our lives where needed. This Advent season is a time when your light radiates into our darkness. Help us to realize that in your light, we are all connected to one another. Help us to use that light to guide others and keep them from danger. Keep us from growing weary of waiting for your love and your light, lest we miss your coming into our lives and into our world during these days. We know neither the day nor the hour of your coming, your final coming. And we seek the hope and good news waiting to be born in our hearts this very day, this moment. For we pray with thanksgiving. We do so in Jesus' name.